right, let's read God's word from John chapter 19. Then the soldiers, when they had crucified Jesus, took his garments and made four parts, to every soldier a part, and also his coat. Now the coat was without seam, woven from the top throughout. And they said, therefore among themselves, let us not rend it, but cast lots for it, whose it shall be, that the scripture might be fulfilled, which said, they parted my raiment among them, and for my vesture they did cast lots. These things, therefore, the soldiers did. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother and his mother's sister Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciples standing by whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, Woman, behold thy son. Then saith he to the disciple, Behold thy mother. And from that hour, that disciple took her into his own home. After this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scripture might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now therefore was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it upon hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus, therefore, had received the vinegar, he said, It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. The Jews, therefore, because it was the preparation that the body should not remain upon the cross on the Sabbath day, for that Sabbath day was a high day, besought Pilate that their legs might be broken and that they might be taken away. Then came the soldiers and brake the legs of the first, and of the other which was crucified with him. But when they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they brake not his legs. But one of the soldiers with a spear pierced his side, and with a forthwith there came out blood and water. And he that saw it bare record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that what he saith is true, that you might believe. For these things were done, that the scripture should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again, another scripture saith, They shall look upon him whom they have pierced. Thanks be unto God for the reading and hearing of God's precious and eternal and holy word. By the way, you are aware that you've just been looking into the crucifixion of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as he hung on the cross, he had things to say. And it becomes important to us. It becomes important to our hearts very often. And as a funeral service person, I go to people's house and someone has passed away, particularly someone they did not know was going to pass away. And they tell me, well, mommy said so and so. You know, I just didn't get that down what she was trying to say, but last week she said so-and-so. The other day she said so-and-so. And so those last words become famous among the family. They talk about it. They repeat it. They say it over and over. And you say, well, you know, is everybody going to die? I tell you, the vital statistics are the same now as they were during the bubonic plague. And you say, what's that? What were the statistics? 100% of the people who were living in the 1500s died. How many people die in the 21st century? 100% of us. The statistics have not changed. 100% of the people who are living die. I don't like it. I don't want it to be that way. I wish it would change. I'd love to go out of business because there were no dying people. I would love that to be true. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'm uncomfortable with the whole idea. I have to trust God. I have to reach to God. I have to hope in God because I'm aware, painfully aware, by the way, that people pass from this earth. And I'm also aware, after lots of experience and reading and studying, that there are times when people are passing and their body is in this world talking, but their mind and spirit has gone someplace else. And they'll tell you who they're seeing. They'll describe things that are going on. It's remarkable to hear that. Well, as you look through the scripture, It must be important when we talk about what people's last famous words, simply because it turns out that there are so many of them recorded, so many of the things that are said. And as I look, there's a common denominator that runs through all of this. In fact, there's a couple of them. And when I look at that great scripture in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and it talks about all these heroes of faith, and I mean, you read that and you just want to stand up and say, yippee-yi-yo. I mean, you just want to rejoice because, you know, women saw their babies delivered from death, and they suffered for what was the truth, and they had a hard time, but they had a glorious time because it tells about how they lived and how they overcame and how they found victory in what was going on. And only thing is, when you get to the end of that chapter, do you know what it says? These all died. That's a heroic chapter. Some people call it God's heroes, you know, that He's lined up, His trophies, these people who went through so much. And yet, when you get to the end, and that included, by the way, I don't know how you worked that out with the translation. I'm talking about being not language, but being translated to heaven. When I look at that scripture and I see what it says, these all died in faith, and I realize that Elijah was in that group. If you step back there, you see that Elijah was in that group, that Enoch was in that group, and yet it says these all died. 100% of the people living will be dead 100 years from now. And you say, what could save us for it? One thing, the rapture, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And even then, we can't go like we are. But who would want to? Yeah, it is the truth. I mean, who would want to? I'm looking for, we sing sometimes, on the resurrection morning when all the dead in Christ shall rise. Yeah, Dottie, I'll have a new body. Praise the Lord, I'll have a new life. And when we look at that, we have to think, you know, I'm going to get better. Wally, you're going to get better. We're all going to get better. Because when we're changed, when we leave this world of sorrows, as the old hymn says, and we go on the other side, I just think it'd be remarkable to suddenly all go, bingo, oh my, I've got a new body. Oh, Andy Taylor, you can breathe deep because you'll be breathing celestial air. Herb Dillon, you won't be emaciated anymore. I mean, you'll be living and singing. First thing we noticed about Herb was lump in his throat, and there were notes he couldn't reach anymore. And then we had to watch as that progressed against him. But the wonderful, wonderful thing is that when we get to the other side, it'll all be okay. Abraham lived to be 175 years old, but you say, what did he do to prepare? You know what I noticed that most all these people did, including our Lord Himself? They made arrangements for their family. They made arrangements so that their family would be taken care of, or so their family would know what to do, or so their family would know how things were going. I think one of the most remarkable deaths is Jacob. And Jacob was in Egypt and had been down there for several years. And he, of course, his heart was back in the Holy Land, back in Israel. It wasn't Israel then, but it was the same land. And he gathered his family up around him, and he said, it's time for me to go. And he sat on the edge of the bed, and he put his hands on their heads, and he prophesied over them, and he blessed them. Joseph brought his two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, up, put them in front of him, and he put his hands on their... Joseph put his hands on his son's head that they could get a blessing, because Joseph was going to get a double blessing. He was going to get two children blessed for his one tribe. But when he did, Joseph crossed the hands, because he was blessing the oldest one last and the youngest one first. But the spirit of prophecy was on him, and he changed his hands. And every time Joseph put him there, Jacob changed his hands. But when he got there, he talked to them. He said, gather yourselves together. I'm going home. And he started at the oldest, and he came down to the youngest, and he blessed and he prophesied over every one of them. And then he said, and all of this people will live in that land, and I love this term, until Shiloh comes. Oh, think about it. This was 400 and some years before Moses led the children out of Egypt. And he's sitting on the edge of his deathbed and blessing his children and grandchildren and anticipating that out of his family is going to come Shiloh, is going to come the Redeemer of the world, is going to come the one that God promised to Eve in the Garden of Eden, the one God promised to Abraham, the one that later God would promise to David, the one that God promised to Mary and Joseph separately and together. That's the one he's talking about. And you say, well, what happened then? I think this is so cool. He gathered his feet up into the bed and he curled up and covered himself up with his cover and died. You say, can people know to do that? I remember when they said when Brother Deaton died out here on the hill, he had been talking to the family. He told them it was time for him to go. He placed his feet together, placed his hands across his breast, breathed his last, and went home to be with Jesus. You say, oh, people can't, things like that don't happen. Honey, they happen every day. They happen every day. I remember Mr. Thompson over at Eggleston told us about when Ebb Gilmer passed away, and his wife was pregnant with their last child. It was pretty young, and it was hard, and things would go on. And he said, Ebb called for the children and he kissed them goodbye, called for his wife and kissed them goodbye, and lay down in the bed, and he reached up and pulled a pillow up under his head and fixed his head just right, laid himself just right. Said, the only thing I have to think about leaving is leaving my wife and children. But other than that, I'm ready to go. And he went. He folded his pillow up and got himself comfortable and went on to be with the Lord. I think about Elijah, and I have to say, what a way to go. Now, most of us are going to go in less than honorable circumstances. There's going to be somebody waiting on us, somebody bathing us, somebody feeding us, all those things that go on. But then you have Elijah who says, I'm going on the other side of the river and I'm going on to be with the Lord. And when he got on the other side of the river, by the way, he parted the waters and went across and got on the other side of the river. And when he did, a chariot of fire and horses of fire came down from heaven and lit on the earth. And you say, I don't believe in cremation. Well, I don't know what he wasn't, because it was the fire of God and he jumped in the middle of it and it was carried away to the heavens. And all that was left of him was his garment, his mantle that he threw off as he got in. He didn't need that no more, did he? He had folded the mantle and struck the waters, and the waters of the Jordan River opened up so he could go across. But he didn't need it anymore because he was in the chariot of God. And we used to sing, it was a southern spiritual, Swing Down Sweet Chariot. And the Goodman sang, I'm going to ride on the glory cloud, and when the chariot would come. And we think about Elijah being carried away. And his last words, of course, were to Elisha, passing on the mantle, passing on what they had. David passed away. He gathered his family around him, same deal. Told them what they needed to know, told them how things was going to be, gathered himself into the bed, and I like this, and he was gathered to his people. He was gathered to his Father. Brothers and sisters, if you think for one second that God is going to let a faithful servant of the Lord cross into that darkness of death and across that river from this world, and leave you alone and not take care of you, you better think again. When Lazarus the beggar lay at the rich man's gate, dogs licking his sores, eating the crumbs that fell from the rich man's table, ignored by the people around him, he was just part of the scenery, they didn't see him, but one day Lazarus died, one day his body died, and what's the next verse say? That's right, angels, you got it. Angels came and did what? Carried him away. You say, preacher, you believe that? I really do. I really believe angels came and carried him away to the other side. And when he got over there, he knew who he was seeing and what he was seeing and what was going on. I just think that's wonderful. And I think about the Apostle Paul. That's maybe some of the most famous last words of anybody anywhere. And he got to the end of the journey and he was going to Jerusalem, and he knew when he got there it was going to be the end of the road, that he was not going to be back. He had founded all those churches up in Asia Minor, and he called the elders of the church down to the rivers of the seaside so he wouldn't have to go inland so far. And they had a farewell meeting. I hope they didn't sing. Do any of you remember what we used to sing at the end of a tent meeting? Goodbye, goodbye, if I never see you anymore. And that used to be the song for the last night if we had a tent service or a revival. But the thing of it is, when the Apostle Paul saw the elders of Ephesus, he said, "You'll not see my face anymore. This is it. I'm passing through for the last time." And he went on to Rome. And from Rome, he wrote to young Timothy, his son in the Lord. And he said, "I am now ready to be offered. My life is about to be poured out as an offering to God." But he said, "That's okay." You know why? He said, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. And I have kept the faith." I have to tell you, what a fight he had on his hands. When he became a Christian and he separated himself from the Antichrist and anti-God forces that were against him, he hadn't been saved a week, and they had to put him in a basket and let him out by the wall of Damascus to keep him from being killed. And he fought. One time he said, "I fought as with the beast of Ephesus." And I don't know if you know the history on that, but in Ephesus there was an amphitheater, as there were in most Roman cities, and they put people out to fight raging bulls. And what a horrid thing, and what a terrible way to entertain yourself. But it was a fact, and Paul said, I fought a good fight. I fought with the beast of Ephesus. I fought with the power of the devil. I fought a good fight, but I finished. And I have to tell you this morning, they that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That's right. They that endure to the end. And Granny used to say, any old thing can start, and any old thing can stop, but it takes the genuine to go through. And brothers and sisters, having started to run, don't be like the hare. Don't be like the rabbit. Run ahead and say, "Boy, I got this licked," and sit down by the side of the road and let life pass you by. Because when he did that, the turtle walked on by. He didn't walk very fast, but he got to the end. And where is the reward? Where is the reward? At the end. At the end of the journey. And my friend, I know you're saved by grace, and I know the grace of God is secure, and I know that God has you in the palm of his hand, and Satan himself could not pluck you out. But I can tell you, my friend, if you get to the winning side, you're going to have to finish the race, not stop halfway through it. And what did he say in the end? "And I have kept the faith." I have kept the faith. Wow. He died with what he started with, his salvation, his redemption. Seeing all the wondrous things that God had done, he knew. He had had an out-of-body experience anyway up at Lystra. And looking forward to the kingdom of God, he could say, "The fight's over, the race is finished, and the faith that I have kept has kept me." You say, "Well, you just read all that about Jesus being crucified." You say, "You believe Jesus is God?" I sure do. I sure do. I believe he's divine. I believe he was born of a virgin. I believe he lived a sinless life. I believe he resurrected a glorious resurrection on Easter Sunday morning. I believe that he ascended into glory and was taken out of their sight by the clouds and walked across the Milky Way and behind the constellation Orion and stood before the throne of God Almighty, the God of the universe, and offered his physical body with the nail prints in his hand and his feet and the spear print in his side, and all the crown of thorns had been on his head. He stood before God. My Lord, have mercy. And Jesus, as a man, hung on that cross. And as a man, carried the sins of the whole world. And I see him yonder on the cross, and he said, I'm thirsty. That was a human cry, wasn't it? I'm thirsty. If you think they were being cruel when they gave him vinegar on hyssop and put it in his mouth, don't. We're reading out of the King James Version of the Bible. It's sour wine. It was sour wine, and they called it vinegar. And they put it on his mouth, and his mouth was so dry he could hardly speak. But when they gave him the sour wine, it made his mouth moistened so he could talk. And he had two things to finish. Number one, who's going to take care of my mama when I'm gone? And he looks at John and he said, son, behold your mother. And he looked at his mother and said, mother, behold your son. And from that day on, the Apostle John took Mary, the mother of our Lord, into his house and kept her. She died in Ephesus, where John had become the bishop of that part of the world in Christianity. And in Ephesus, she died and was taken care of. Then he said, and this is the wonderful thing, he raised himself up, his body filling with fluid, his lungs not able to do hardly anything, but he raised himself up on that cross just enough to look into the heavens and say, it is finished! Amen. Oh, hallelujah. The conflict that had been going on since the Garden of Eden, the conflict that was started by that old dirty serpent, the devil, who crawled into the Garden of Eden and seduced our mother Eve. That conflict, my friend, had been raging through the centuries. Armies had marched because of it. Earthquakes had happened because of it. My Lord. And I look at it and all the battles that had been fought and all of the human beings that had striven and struck in the battle with sin and the devil and life and death and eternity and time. When Christ offered up the sacrifice and said, it is finished, my brothers and sisters, the price was paid. Every human being could go free because the price had been paid for them. Hell could hold no terror because the price was paid. And I could look the old Nick right in the face and tell him, I'm a saved person because Jesus Christ died for me. And I accepted his pardon of sin. And I accepted his blood and my sins are gone. You say, how could you stand before a just and a mighty God and stand there without fear? I'll tell you how. By the precious blood of Jesus Christ that saved my soul and washed my sins away. Don't start and tell me I was just 14 years old when I got saved and I didn't know anything about sin. I was a sinner because I was born in Adam's race. And I had no way to save myself. Lost and undone without God, without any hope of salvation or redemption. I could not grab my bootstraps and pull myself up. I could not make myself good enough to get into heaven. But when I met Jesus, hallelujah. When I met Jesus, he put his hand on me. He let his blood, some of you will remember our old 33 and a third RPM records that we used to get. And my dad bought me one every once in a while, and we'd go to town on Saturday, and I got one that was from Loretta Lynn. And by the way, we talked to her one day on the telephone by mistake. She called the funeral home in Pembroke and meant to call the clinic in Nashville. Our claim to fame, I guess. But she had one of those big old albums put out, and I heard her singing, and she was singing about standing under the cross. And the blood came down, and she got to the part that said, and some of it spilled on me. And when she did, I heard her voice break, and I went to read about it. And, of course, back then, all recordings like that were done in studios. And as she got to that part, she realized the blood of Christ came down on Loretta Lynn. My brothers and sisters, even Mary, the Virgin Mother of our Lord, had to stand at the cross and see that her son was the Savior. It was Mary, the mother of our Lord, who was one of the 120 a few days later that received the infusion of the Holy Spirit from heaven. My brothers and sisters, I don't know if you think you can take anything with you or not. You ought to be able to not want to take too much, but there's some things you can take to heaven with you. And you say, what's that? Your character and your record that you made, you can take with you. And there's some things I wouldn't want you to take. If you could take money and buy it, wouldn't be worth being there. If you could take fame or importance and try to influence somebody, it wouldn't be worth being there. But because Jesus has freely given us a pardon of sin, simply by acknowledging His blood and the power of the blood to save us. Hallelujah. How many of you say, some of it spilled on me? Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad? Father, in the precious and wonderful and glorious name of Jesus Christ, we come into Your presence today, Lord, and we hear these patriarchs of old making preparations to leave this world. Father, we look at them and we realize as human beings they took care of their family, including our Lord. But Father, they look forward to a land that was fairer than day, just over the stars. They look forward to the land of promise when all of this sadness and sorrow would be passed away. Father, I pray that You'll touch this audience this morning and those who will also hear it by transcription or on the radio. We pray that You'll touch every soul that hears it. And let us, oh God, let us come to the place that we know, that we know, that we know that our sins are under the blood and our soul has been set free. Congregation said, thank You, Jesus.
Thank You, Jesus.
All right, we're going to sing and we're going to praise the Lord for what He has done. And yes, had it not been for the cross, had it not been for what Christ did, we would be so glad to pray with you. And we invite you to come for prayer and to bring your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Would you stand? If you're not saved this morning, don't know for sure your name's in the Lamb's Book of Life, I would invite you to come. If you've backslid and have grown cold in the Lord, I invite you to come. If you're just as mean as a striped snake, I invite you to come. We've got something that'll take care of it. Amen? All right, let's sing, Had It Not Been.
Thank you.
came to church this morning. God bless you. Hey, Earl, would you come down and just stand in the foyer and speak to the folks as they go out? Okay.